إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We would like to continue this evening, I think in this, the eighth lecture in this series concerning the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi, and with reading from the brief simplified explanation of Dr. Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman Al-Qumayyiz, the Sharh Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah Al-Muyassar. And from time to time, inshaAllah, mentioning some of the commentary of the contemporary scholars, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, Hafidhahullah, and Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect them. Last week we discussed a number of points, starting from point number 26. At least just as a refresher, so that we continue with the line of thought, quickly mentioning those points which we discussed last week. Al-Imam Al-Tahawi Rahimahullah, he says, وَهُوَ يَعَنِي referring to Allah, وَهُوَ مُتَعَالٍ عَنِ الْأَضْدَادِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ, that Allah is high above, far removed and free from having any أَضْدَاد, يعني any opposition or those who may oppose him or conflict with him, and likewise from having any andad, any nid, or anyone that is equal to him, similar to him or otherwise. And then he mentioned يعني, that this is in reference يعني, that Allah doesn't have any one to oppose him in his ruling and judgment and يعني, maintaining His sovereignty of the universe. No one can reject that which He has judged, or conflict with it, oppose it, or refuse it, and that there is no one equal to Him in His authority in these matters, or His power in these matters. As well, there is no one equal to Him, or nothing equal to Him in His asma wa sifat, in His names and characteristics, and in His right to be worshipped, and so on. Then, he mentioned the next point, وَلَا رَادَ لِقَضَائِهِ وَلَا مُعَقِّبْ لِحُكْمِهِ وَلَا غَالِبْ لِأَمْرِهِ, which is basically what we just mentioned, that there is no one who can repel or push back that which Allah has decreed, nor can anyone delay or postpone His rulings or judgments, nor can anyone overpower or predominate or dominate or overcome His command. Then he said, point number 28, آمَنَّا بِذَٰلِكَ كُلِّ, that we believe or have faith in all of that. وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّ كُلًّا مِنْ عِنْدِي, and we are certain, with total certainty, that everything is from Allah, يعني that all of the affair is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we went to a new topic, and that was the continuation of the topic of Al-Tawheed and Al-Qadr al-Qadha. And then we discussed last week also the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah said, وَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدَهُ الْمُصْطَفَى, that verily, certainly Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the slave servant of Allah, al-Mustafa, the chosen slave servant of Allah. ونبيه المجتبى, and he is also his prophet that he has selected, ورسوله المرتضى, and he is his messenger with whom he is pleased. Then he said, point number 29, Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أشهر أسمائه, that this is the most famous of his name, يعني أسمائه الشريفة, his noble name. وذلك أفضل. This is the explanation of that Humayyiz. Anyway, he went on to discuss the names of the Prophet ﷺ and his lineage, his tribal lineage, and يعني their place amongst the Arabs as being يعني a having high status amongst the other tribes of the Arabs, and their long tracing their background back to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he also discussed the importance of this characteristic of ubudiyyah, slavery or servitude, that this was one of the characteristics that was a characteristic of honor which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to his Prophet and Messenger as his abd, his slave servant, in the most important places where he is mentioned in the Quran. Then he says, وَأَنَّهُ خَاتِمْ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, and verily that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the seal of the Prophet, the last of them, no one to come after him. وَإِمَامُ الْأَتْقِيَاءِ, and he is the leader, the imam of the people of taqwa, of the people of piety and righteousness, those who have fear of Allah. وَسَيِّدْ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master or the leader of the messengers. He is the leader of the messengers, the other messengers who were sent by Allah before him, alayhi salatu wa salam, may peace be upon them all. فَحَبِيبُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, and he is the beloved of the Lord of the world. And the scholars commented on this characteristic or this name that was here mentioned by Al-Imam al-Sahawi, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah, is the Habib of Allah. And Shaykh al-Albani commented on this, saying that in fact the more proper title that should be given to him, which is greater than Habib, is Khalil, Khalil. And that this was a title not only given to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, but also it was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is, and Shaykh al-Albani mentioned here the hadith, the authentic hadith, in which he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, that Allah has taken me as his khalil, his very, very close friend, as he has taken the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam as his khalil. And finally, I think the last point, no, next to the last point, point 31, وَكُلُّ دَعْوَ النُّبُوَّ بَعْدَهُ فَغَيٌّ, يعني that every claim, anyone who makes a claim for himself or for someone else to having prophethood after the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this is يعني only from their desires. It isn't anything based on fact or truth. وَهُوَ هَوَى, يعني it is a deviation, and it is only their desires that they are following in making such a claim for themselves or for anyone else. And since Allah confirmed and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear in authentic hadith that he is the Khatim al-Anbiya, the seal of the Prophet, then there is no way that a Prophet could come after him. And we also mentioned here the comments of Shaykh al-Albani concerning the Qadiani, Ghulam Ahmed, who claimed to be a Prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the falsehood of his claim was made clear in his lifetime. And the last point, Al-Imam al-Sahawi mentions here about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his prophethood, وَهُوَ الْمَبْعُوثُ إِلَىٰ عَامَةِ الْجِنِّ, that he is missioned or sent to all of the jinn in general, وَكَافَةِ الْوَرَىٰ, and all of humanity. He is sent to the jinn and all of men, بِالْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَىٰ وَبِالنُّورِ وَالضِّيَاءِ, he has been sent with the haqq, the truth, and the huda, the guidance, and the nur, and the diya, that is the Quran, the light, or the guidance. of the Quran, and along with it, that which accompanies it and complements it, the Sunnah. This is what we mentioned last week, and tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we would like to go on and take a new topic. This is a very important topic, and it is related to the Quran. Imam al-Tahawi, he says here, وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. And this is very important to note the words that he used, as the scholars of Islam, the people of Sunnah and Jama'ah, were very careful in selecting the words they used in Aqeedah generally, and especially in those issues about which there is difference of opinion. And some of those differences of opinion actually led the people out of Islam. Yani some of the beliefs of the people who deviated from that which is confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah, the beliefs that they held actually caused them to go out of Islam, to not be a Muslim, by their yani deviant, false interpretation and understanding that is not based on the Quran or the Sunnah or the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ وَأَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهُ. And please pay attention to the translation of the book that we have. Because as I mentioned last week, sometimes there is some yani unclarity in the translation, and perhaps even sometimes you can say that there are some mistakes that might give you a different understanding. He says that verily the Qur'an is the kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah. The Qur'an is the speech of Allah. Minhu bada. It appeared or became manifest. It came from Him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Bila kayfiyya qawlan. Yani it came from Him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, qawlan, as speech, yani as actual speech, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bila kayfiyya. Without saying how exactly Allah speaks, or how that speech came from Him, we don't say. وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَحْيًا وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ حَقًّا وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَىٰ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِّيَّةِ. وَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ وَحْيًا. Yani that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, it appeared from Allah, it came from Him as speech, without saying how. He revealed it on His messenger as wahi, revelation. Yani He revealed it through the angel Jibril to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ as revelation. وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ حَقًا. And the believers affirmed and confirmed this as being truth, حَقًّا, يعني without doubt, that it is a fact. وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِالْحَقِيقَةِ. And they were certain, without any doubt, yaqeen, that this Qur'an is indeed the speech of Allah in reality. And here he says the important words that we found all of the scholars mentioning, along with the statement that Qur'an is the kalam of Allah, it is the speech of Allah, he adds to that, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ, that this Qur'an is not created, it is not something created. And this is very important, because this is one of the points, or the main point, that the people deviated on. He said, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِيَّةِ, that it is not created like the speech of the creature, the human being. So otherwise, the speech of human beings is created. The human being is created and his speech is created. But the speech of Allah, Allah Himself is not created and His speech is not created. فَمَنْ سَمِعَهُ فَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. This is very strong language, and the scholars are in agreement upon this. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, his book Al-Aqeedah al-Tahawiyyah, has been accepted by the overwhelming majority of Muslims in the world, wherever they may be, regardless of their madhab in fiqh, and regardless of their madhab in aqeedah even, his book has been accepted. And he says that whoever, فَمَنْ سَمِعَهُ, whoever heard this Qur'an, فَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ, and claims that it is the speech of human beings, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ, then he has definitely become a disbeliever. The person who makes such a claim, they have become a disbeliever. Because it's the speech of Allah, and nothing of Allah is created. Nothing of Allah is created. وَقَدْ ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ وَعَابَهُ وَأَوَعَدَهُ بِالسَّقَرِ, and Allah has blamed him and censured him and criticized him. وَأَوَعَدَهُ بِالسَّقَرِ, and Allah has threatened the one who makes such a claim that the Qur'an is created, that it is the speech of human beings. Allah has threatened them بِالسَّقَرِ, with hellfire. حَيْثُ قَالَ تَعَالَى, where Allah the Most High says, سَأُسْلِيهِ سَقَرِ, that soon I will throw him in the fire. This is the threat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whoever claims, or who makes such a claim. Then Imam al-Sahawi makes the argument, which is very clear here, for whoever will just reflect a little on the words of the Qur'an. فَلَمَّا عَوْعَدَ اللَّهُ بِسَقَرْ لِمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرْ عَلِمْنَا وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّهُ قَوْلُ خَالِقُ الْبَشَرْ وَلَا يُشْبِهُ قَوْلُ الْبَشَرْ. يعني, when Allah threatened with the hellfire the one who says, إِنَّ هَذَا إِلَّا, or إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرْ, يعني, that verily, this is nothing more than the speech of a human being. Whoever said such, as they said in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they claimed that he didn't receive revelation, but in fact that it was someone who was teaching him this stuff, who was giving it to him, and he was just repeating what he had heard. So here, Al-Imam al-Sahawi rahimahullah says that when Allah threatened with the hellfire, the one who says, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ, that this is no more than the speech of a human being, from that threat, for the one who makes such a statement, we came to know, and we are certain, that the Qur'an, then, if Allah threatened the one who said that it is, this is only the speech of human beings, and Allah threatened them with the hellfire for such a statement, only for saying it, then we came to know for sure that this is the speech of the creator of the Bashar, the Khaliq al-Bashar, the creator of the human beings, and the creator of everything. وَلَا يُشْبِهُ قَوْلَ الْبَشَرِ, and it is in no way similar or like the speech of human beings. The Qur'an is in no way like the speech of human beings. And even the Orientalists and the disbelievers, the enemies of Islam, who studied the Qur'an, who learned Arabic and studied the Qur'an, all of them admit without a doubt that the Qur'an is different than the speech of human beings. And even it has been said that some people who heard the Qur'an being recited by the Muslims, while they were also speaking, having a speech and mentioning the Qur'an during their speech, some people who were not Arabs, who didn't know Arabic, noticed that there was a difference between some of the words or some of the speech of the speaker during that speech. And those words which were different, even noticeable to the person who doesn't know Arabic, are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, the Shaykh Muhammad al-Qumayyiz, he says that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah Ta'ala in reality. It came from Him. And we do not know, nor can we say, how He subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. But we say that for sure it is His speech, that is the Qur'an, with certainty. How He speaks, we don't know. Well, kalam, this speaking, the characteristic of speaking, it is a characteristic of perfection that is affirmed and established for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no denying that Allah speaks. We affirm this as Allah has affirmed it for Himself and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed it. The opposite of this, if someone claims that Allah does not speak, then this is a characteristic of imperfection. Someone who cannot speak, we say something wrong with them. They're defective. How can we say such of Allah, that Allah doesn't speak? Yani the ability to speak is a characteristic, a praiseworthy characteristic in the creatures. So how can we deny such a characteristic in its perfect form to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani to deny it is to attribute imperfection to Allah, and Allah is free and far removed from such يعني, a claim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 164, and the ayat يعني, similar to this or proving this point are so many. Here he only mentioned a few. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. That Allah has spoken to Musa real speech. When he said, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى, it was sufficient to understand that Allah spoke to Musa. He spoke to him. But when he added in the end of the sentence, تَكْلِيمًا, in Arabic language, it is understood without a doubt that this is the affirmation without doubt that he spoke to him with real speech. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, with real speech. So, speech is an established and affirmed characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we affirm it for Allah in a way that is suitable and appropriate for the glory and majesty of Allah and His perfection. And if the speech of Allah is affirmed for Him, we affirm it in the way that is suitable for Allah. And no way can we compare it to the speech of human beings. Because the speech of human beings is not suitable to be attributed to Allah. The speech of human beings is not perfect like the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we affirm speech for Allah. And how it is in the way that is proper and suitable and appropriate and fitting for the perfection and the glory and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Qur'an is His speech, the speech of Allah. Allah says in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 6, وَإِنْ أَحَدْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ إِسْتَجَارَكَ. And if any one of the mushrikeen, the pagan disbelievers, came seeking protection from you, فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, then give him asylum. Give him security. Give him protection. حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ, until he hears the speech of Allah. Yani Allah's speech is heard. Allah says in the Quran, give that one asylum until he hears the speech of Allah. Until he knows about Islam. Until he hears of the Quran. Give him a chance. Protect him. If he is in the land of the Muslims, give him protection until he hears the speech of Allah. And here, what is meant by Kalam Allah, حَتَّى يَسْمَى كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, what is meant here is the Qur'an. Until he hears the speech of Allah, it means until he hears the Qur'an. For it is indeed the Qur'an, it is indeed the speech of Allah in truth. He has revealed it or sent it down upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as revelation. It is a revelation. The believers attest to its truthfulness, to the truthfulness of the fact that it is the speech of Allah and it is revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They know and they are certain about this fact. The believers know and are certain that it is the speech of Allah. There is no doubt. Like some people, they said, I don't know, is it the speech of Allah or not? Or I don't know, it is the speech of Allah, but I don't know if it's created or not created. No, the believer, he knows and he is certain that it is the speech of Allah and that it is not created. It is not created. He says that the believer knows and is certain that it is the speech of Allah Ta'ala in reality and that it is not created. Since the sifat or the characteristics or qualities are يعني connected to or follow under the same ruling as the that of Allah. يعني his sifat come under the same rule or guidelines or understanding as the that of Allah. What is the that of Allah? نفسه. يعني Allah's self, his being. Just as whatever we say about Allah's being, about him himself, we say the same thing about his sifat, because his sifat, his characteristics, they are connected to him himself, and they are not separated from him. So if we say that Allah's that, his being, his self, is unlike the that or the that of human beings or other creatures, then so also his characteristics, his sifat, are unlike the sifat or the characteristics of human beings. This is a basic rule that's important to understand, because some of the Muslims deviated on this. They said that Allah's that is different than the that of human beings. Allah's being is different than human beings. He's a divine being. But his characteristics, they didn't say the same about it. But if his being is divine, then his characteristics are also divine. So here he says that that this idea of the sifat is yani, being a branch of his that, they fall under the same ruling or principle or understanding. The characteristics of Allah are with him from the beginning of time. He didn't take on characteristics as time went on, but they are with him from the beginning, and they are not created. His characteristics, the characteristics of Allah are not created. The characteristics, what do we mean by characteristics? We mean that one of the characteristics of Allah is that he sees, that he hears, that he speaks, that he descends to the lowest heaven, that he ascended above his throne, that he has a face, that he has hands. All of this is confirmed in the Quran and authentic Sunnah. These are the characteristics of Allah. The characteristics of his self or his actions. All of these are characteristics of Allah. So, the characteristics of Allah, they are with him from the beginning. Yani with no beginning or ending. And one of the characteristics of Allah is his speech. So also his speech is with him from the beginning, and it is not created. As for the speech of human beings, it is something that came into being, came into existence. It was created, just like the human being was created. And whoever claims that the Quran is the speech of human beings, then he is a disbeliever. And Allah has threatened, or Allah has promised and threatened with the fire, such a one who makes such a statement. As mentioned in Surah Al-Mudathir, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا قَوْلُ الْبَشَرِ فَأُسْلِيهِ فَقَرْ. يعني, they said that this is only the speech of a human being, then Allah said that he will soon throw that one in the hellfire. They claimed that this was, you know, they said that the Prophet ﷺ was a magician. They claimed that he was a poet. They said he was crazy, and so on. They said this is only the speech of a magician. It is the speech of a human being. And for this statement, Allah said they would be in the hellfire. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Mudathir, chapter 74, verse 24 through 26. So when the believers see how Allah has threatened those who make the claim that the Quran is the speech of a human being, that Allah has threatened them with the fire, then the believer came to know with all certainty that in fact the Quran is the speech of the creator of the human being. And there is no similarity or resemblance between the speech of Allah and the speech of the human beings. In fact, every characteristic or quality of Allah is different from the characteristics or qualities of the created beings, just as his being, the that of Allah, is different from the dhawat or the beings of the human beings or his creatures. So we should keep in mind that the Quran is the speech of Allah. In reality, it is not created, and whoever claims that it is the speech of human beings or created speech, then this is kufr, it is disbelief. Actually, there is much discussion concerning this point. I don't know how much we will be able to discuss this evening, but let us at least briefly mention something that has been said about this. One, there are some comments here. The comments are somewhat lengthy, so we will just summarize it a little bit. From Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Hafizahullah, he says that here the commentator or the one who gave the explanation of Al-Aqidah Qahawiyyah, the famous commentator Ibn Abd al-Izz, rahimahullah, that he has mentioned in his explanation of this book, Al-Aqidah Qahawiyyah, after mentioning this statement, he mentioned some of the opinions of the people who deviated from the Qur'an and Sunnah and the correct understanding. And he mentioned that the opinion on this topic of the Qur'an being the speech of Allah are many. He mentions here 9 opinions. Much of it is philosophical speech that's difficult even to follow or understand. No need to confuse ourselves with this, but let us just here go directly to the last opinion. He mentioned the last opinion, which is the correct opinion, so that would be the thing that will remain with us. He said that the 9th opinion of the people is that Allah the Most High continues to speak. Yani He spoke and He continues to speak if He wills, and whenever He wills and however He wills. Yani Allah speaks إِذَا شَاءَ وَمَتَى شَاءَ وَكَيْفَ شَاءَ. If He wills to speak, He speaks. Whenever He wants to speak and however He wants to speak. Allah continues to be a speaker. يتكلم. He speaks with a voice, بصوت يسمع, with a voice that is heard. Allah's speech is heard. And that this speech, يعني speech as a characteristic of Allah, is ancient from the beginning, and it has no beginning, we can say. And this is the opinion that has been transmitted from the Imam of Hadith and the people of Sunnah. Then he says, the statement of Al-Imam al-Sahawi, كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مِنْهُ بَدَى بِلَا كَيْفِيَ قَوْلًا, that the speech of Allah, it came from Him as real speech without saying how. This statement is a refutation of the Mu'tazila and others besides them, but particularly the Mu'tazila, because they claimed that the Qur'an did not come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said it didn't come from Allah. Yani that speech didn't come forth from Allah. Allah doesn't speak and then it's heard. So here, Al-Imam al-Tahawi wants to refute them. He said, كَلَامُ اللَّهِ مِنْهُ بَدَى, that it came directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Shaykh al-Albani mentions Shaykh Muhammad ibn Mani', who was one of the great scholars of our contemporary time from this area, who was originally from the Arabian Peninsula, and he spent a lot of many years here in this country, Qatar, and taught the people here. Shaykh al-Albani quotes the statement of Muhammad ibn Mani', rahimahullah, that he said that the Qur'an al-Azim, al-Qur'an al-Azim, this great Qur'an is the speech of Allah, lafdhuhu wa ma'anihi, ya'ani its expression and its meaning. Not only the meaning is from Allah, but the expression itself, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one should say Allah dun al-ma'ana. Yani, as some of the deviant people like the Mu'tazila said, nor should they say al-ma'ana dun al-love. We should not separate the expression of the words of Allah from the meaning. Yani saying that the expression is from Allah, but not the meaning. Or the meaning is from Allah and not the expression, but the expression of the Qur'an, يعني the speaking of the Qur'an as well as its meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they said and they believe that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, munazzal غير مخلوق, that it is descended from Allah and it is not created. Alfadhu wa ma'anihi ayn kalam Allah, that the expressions and as well as the meanings, they are exactly the speech of Allah. That Jibreel heard this speech from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angel Jibreel heard the speech of Allah. He heard it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard the speech of Allah from Jibreel. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they heard the speech of Allah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهُوَ الْمَكْتُوبُ فِي الْمَصَاحِفِ وَالْمَحْفُوظُ فِي الصُّدُورِ وَالْمَتْلُوُ فِي الْأَلْسِنَةِ. That is the Quran. It is that which is maktub bil masahif. It is that which is written in the masahif, the books. This is the Quran. It is the speech of Allah. And it is also the mahfuz bil sudur, that which is memorized in the hearts of the human beings who memorize the Quran. That which they have memorized is the speech of Allah. Wal matlu, and that which is recited, also it is the speech of Allah. We don't make any distinction between that which is written, that which is memorized, that which is recited. It is all the speech of Allah. There is no difference between any of it. We don't say that which is in the Mus'haf. That Mus'haf is the book. It's created. That's not the speech of Allah. No. We say that which is written, it is the speech of Allah. That which is recited, it is the speech of Allah. That which is memorized, it is the speech of Allah. Then he said, something similar to this. As some of the people said, that which is heard, and that which descended, and that which is read, and that which is written, is not the speech of Allah, but it is يعني an ibara or an expression, يعني something يعني that expresses the speech of Allah, but it's not itself the speech of Allah. But we said no, that is in fact, as Imam As-Sahawi said and the scholars of Islam said, that it is the speech of Allah in all of its forms. He said that it is the speech of Allah, and from him it came. This is what the scholars of the early generations of the Muslims said, that it came from him and it returned to him. And when they said it came from him, they said this in order to refute the Jahmiyyah from the Mu'tazila, يعني those people who claimed that the speech of Allah, يعني that it didn't come from him. This was a refutation of them. Here, this is the speech of, this is the saying of Ibn Abdul Izz in his explanation. He is saying something similar to what we already expressed, saying here that Allah actually spoke with the Quran, that it came from him. It didn't come from anything in his creation. And this is as Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Zumr, chapter 1, he says, Tanzeel Al-Kitab min Allah Aziz al-Hakim. That is the descending or the revelation of the Quran min Allah. It is from Allah Al-Aziz al-Hakim, the wise, the mighty and the wise. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Sajda, chapter, 32, verse 13, وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي. But it is in fact speech, al-qawl minni, from me. That is, Allah is saying, it is in fact speech from me. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Nahl, I think chapter 16, Surah Al-Nahl, verse 102, قُلْ نَزَّلَهُ رُوحُ الْقُدُّوسِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ بِالْحَقِّ. That is, Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say that he descended it, or he sent it down by the Ruh al-Quddus, that is the Jibreel, naam, the Ruh al-Quddus, Holy Spirit or whatever. Naam, I don't know how to translate this word, it's dangerous, Ruh al-Quddus. Anyway, it means Jibreel, that he came down with it, Mir Rabbika bilhaq, from your Lord, in truth. Yani it came from min Rabbika, from your Lord. And also the meaning of his statement, wa ilayhi ya'ud, or the statement of the scholars, they used to say that it came from him and it returned to him. Yani that which is in the heart memorized and that which is written in the Musahif, that all of this would return to Allah and nothing would remain in the heart, not even one ayah, and nothing would remain in the Musahif, as that has been mentioned in many of the sayings of the scholars of Islam. And his saying, bila kayfiyya, that it is, yani without saying how, it is the speech of Allah. We don't know how is the speech of Allah, but we know that it is real speech. And this word, yani here where he said, bila kayfiyya, qawlan, he said qawlan to affirm that he really means speech, and he didn't mean it as a figurative expression, but he meant that Allah actually spoke. And he sent it down as revelation on his prophet This means that he sent it down on the tongue of the angel. That is the angel Jibreel. That the angel Jibreel heard it from Allah. And the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam heard it from the angel Jibreel. And then the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read it to the people. As mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, verse 106. Surah Al-Isra, what number is this? 17, 18, 19. I think chapter 17. Surah Al-Isra, verse 106. وَقُرْآنًا تَنزِيلًا. That this is a Qur'an, يعني that this Qur'an, we have sent it down so that it will be, yani, so that you may read it to the people. We have sent it down in pieces so that you may read it to the people over time. And we have revealed it, yani, as revelations. And also, yani, that another proof that it is revealed by Allah, He said, نَزَّلَ بِهِ الْرُوحِ الْأَمِينِ, that He descended with it, the Ruh al-Amin, also referring to Jibreel. على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين. That we have sent it down and put it onto your heart, or put it into your heart, so that you may be one of the warners, and it is in clear Arabic language. So here he closes. Shaykh al-Albani makes a final statement here that this is a proof and an affirmation that it was sent down from Allah to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by angel Jibreel, that it was descended, and these ayahs mention the tanzeel, or the yani, nuzul of the Qur'an as revelation. This is a proof and an affirmation of the characteristic of Allah, of al-ulu, highness, that Allah is high. The fact that the Qur'an is sent down is a proof that Allah is above the creatures. There are some other statements here, but concerning the Qur'an as the speech of Allah, some of the scholars, what they said about this, but ta'ani, maybe we can refer, some of it we mentioned before in the lectures of the explanation of Usul Sunnah. So in the sixth lecture of Usul Sunnah, we discussed it in more detail, or we mentioned many of the sayings of the scholars. Tonight we didn't mention many of the sayings of the scholars, but we can refer to them from that lecture, previous lecture. There's one more point that we want to cover tonight, and it is important, so that's why I want to maybe skip some of the sayings of the scholars and go on to this final point. Here Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهَ بِمَعَنَى مِنْ مَعَانِي الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ وَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ هَذَا اِعْتَبَرْ وَعَنْ مِثْلِ قَوْلِ الْكُفَّارِ أَنْزَجَرْ وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بِصِفَاتِهِ لَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرِ وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهِ بِمَعْنَى مِنْ مَعَانِي الْبَشَرِ فَقَدْ كَفَرْ. Yani, whoever describes Allah with any characteristic or any of the meanings that are applicable to human beings, then that person has committed an act of kufr. They have become a kafir. Whoever describes Allah in any way, yani, as a being similar to human beings, or in any of the characteristics or meanings that are attributed to human beings, then this is kufr. Whoever understands such, فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ هَذَا اَعْتَبَرْ. Whoever understands this will take heed. If you understand such, then you will take heed to it. وَعَنْ مِثْلِ قَوْلِ الْكُفَّارِ إِنْ زَجَرَ. And you would be far removed and stay away from such speech as the speech of the disbelievers who said, or who described Allah in such a way, his speech as being human speech or any other characteristic being similar to the characteristics of human beings. This is the manner of speech. It is the belief and understanding of the disbelievers. Whoever understands such, then they would stay far away from such speech. And they would know, وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بِصِفَاتِهِ لَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرِ. And they would know for sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no way like the human being in any of his characteristics or qualities, his sifat. Here, the Sheikh Muhammad Al-Qumayyiz says an explanation, in brief explanation of this point, and it is a very important point. It is one of the great principles in the study of Tawheed, specifically the aspect of Tawheed, Al-Asma wa Sifat. This is a very important principle, not to describe Allah in any way that is similar or resembling the characteristics or qualities of human beings or anything of His creation. He says, any time or in any case where someone describes Allah the Most High with any of the characteristics or any meaning that is applicable to human beings, then that person has compared Allah to His creation in His name and in His characteristics. Whoever does such, and he compares Allah to His creation in His name, yani that Allah's names are similar to the names of human beings, or the meaning of those names is similar to the names of human beings, or His characteristics are similar to the characteristics of human beings, or the how of the way that Allah does anything is similar to how human beings do something, then that person has disbelieved in Allah, the Mighty, the Supreme, who said, that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that nothing is like Him or similar to Him, and He is the hearing, the seeing, and He's the one who has perfect hearing and perfect seeing. And this is mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11. Surah Ash-Shura, I think, is chapter number 42. So Allah has made clear in this ayah, and this basic principle is established here, that nothing is similar to Allah, and Allah is not similar or like anything in His creation. So if the human being sees this and understands this and comprehends this point, then he should take heed to such, and that person understands what they are saying or doing is kufr, and they persist in it. And even then, that such declaration should be the right of the scholars and not of every individual. But here the takfir is made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who said, whoever compares him to anything in His creation, then that person has become a disbeliever. So we should avoid such if we understand this point. No doubt the one who understands this would avoid saying such a thing, repeating the sayings of the disbelievers whom Allah has judged to be disbelievers and whom Allah has threatened with the hellfire. And also, we would know, if we understand this, that Allah the Most High, that His characteristics or qualities, His sifat, and the how of them, the kayfiyya, how are His characteristics, how do we explain it? And the reality of them, the reality of His characteristics, that this is something, لَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرْ أَبَدًا, the how of His characteristics, and the reality of His characteristics and the meaning of His characteristics are in no way similar to human beings. Now, here, let me just mention, and perhaps inshallah, next week or during the week, I will try to prepare this statement here, which is a very brief statement concerning some fundamental points. Here we mentioned that no one should compare Allah to anyone or anything in His creation. And this comes under one of the fundamental basic principles of the Tawheed of Al-Asma wa Sifat. This aspect of a Tawheed deals with the acknowledgement that Allah the Most High is alone and unique in His name and characteristics, which no one resembles Him in those names and characteristics. This acknowledgement and testimony can only be completed and perfected, yani the acknowledgement or the testimony to the fact that Allah is unique and alone in His names and characteristics can only be completed and perfected by the confirmation of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has confirmed for Himself and what His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has confirmed for Him of the names and characteristics as well as their meanings and judgments which has been narrated in the Quran and authentic Sunnah. Yani, to affirm for Allah His names and characteristics, the way we are required to affirm it requires that we must confirm and affirm every name and every characteristic that Allah has affirmed for Himself. And that the Prophet ﷺ has confirmed for him. We must affirm. That's the first thing. But that's not sufficient. But there are those who deny some of Allah's names or some of His characteristics according to their own understanding or interpretation. The first thing is to affirm whatever Allah has affirmed for Himself and what the Prophet ﷺ, who is the most knowledgeable of all creatures, he is the most knowledgeable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah has affirmed for Himself and whatever the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for Him. All of the above must be, yani this confirmation of all of the names and characteristics of Allah must be without denial or negation of anything of His names and characteristics. And without ta'atil, which means non-affirmation of the characteristics and names of Allah the Most High, which are found in the Quran and Sunnah. Ta'atil, yani this is an expression that's used in Arabic language by the scholars of Islam. Ta'atil, they mean the people who make ta'atil, the mu'attila, are the people who, they affirm the names of Allah, but they negate the meaning of those names. So in fact, they negate them. Yani they say that Allah is al-Basir, but He doesn't see. This is ta'atil. To say He is al-Basir, He is al-Samir, but without basr, without sam', without hearing and seeing, this is ta'atil. To empty that name of its meaning. So it is in fact negation. Affirmation without this type of negation. And they affirmed and then they negated at the same time. Al-Mu'attila, the people of Ta'atil say, verily, confirmation of the characteristics or the sifat of Allah the Most High makes necessary comparison between Allah and the Creator. Between Allah the Creator and His created beings. That is, if we affirm these characteristics for Allah that Allah sees, then that means we will have to say that Allah is like human beings or like His creatures, because His creatures also see. They said to affirm these characteristics mean we have to compare Allah to His creatures. And we cannot compare Allah to His creatures, so we don't affirm them. But their saying is erroneous. Allah's characteristics remain affirmed and confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah, and this is based on the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that nothing is like Him. And He negates anything being like Him. At the same time, He affirms that He does in fact have the characteristic of hearing and seeing. Also, this confirmation is without tahreef. And we should confirm these names and characteristics for Allah without making tahreef. Harrafa, yuharrifu, tahreef. We should not make tahreef, which means changing, alteration, perversion, or corruption of the meaning, or even phonetic corruption of the word to alter or distort the true meaning, like the saying of the Jews, yani the Jews distorted the Torah, thereby earning the wrath of Allah the Most High. Yani they actually changed the words in the Torah. But not only by changing the words, even by changing the meaning. By distorting the meaning, this is tahrif. To change the real meaning of the word to another meaning. So we must affirm Allah's names also without making any distortion of the meanings or distorting the actual words themselves. The following has been explained by Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, in reference to tahrif. As for the corrupted, blameworthy interpretations, it is the interpretations of the people of tahrif and innovation, who interpret and explain by other than its true interpretation, and redirect expressions from their correct interpretation without evidence justifying their manner of interpretation. And without any evidence, if there is some proof that a particular word which generally has a certain meaning, but there's other proofs showing that the meaning is something else that's different, but they give new meanings or distorted meanings to words which they have no proof for changing their meanings. This is the tahrif that is blameworthy, and it is the tahrif of the people of bid'ah. An example of this is the tahrif in their saying, istawla, in place of the word istawa, in the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Taha, verse 5, Ar-Rahman istawa ala al-arsh. They said, instead of istawa, they changed the word itself to istawla. And istawa is different from istawla. They changed. They said that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يعني that the beneficent الرحمن استوى على العرش, that he rose above his throne, يعني in a manner that's suitable to his majesty and his glory and his greatness. They said استولى means the taking of a thing which was not yours by right. يعني الله استولى على العرش, he took over or conquered the arsh. This is not appropriate to be applied to Allah. Allah is the owner of everything. He is the creator. How can he take over something that he has no right to? While the correct way is to understand the word istawa in its reality, and istawa appropriate to the greatness of Allah, who is free from any attribution of defect or blameworthy characteristic. They explained istawa to mean istawla. And istawa doesn't mean istawla. Istawa means to rise above or to be high above. This confirmation of Allah's names and characteristics also must be without tamthil, which we already discussed. We already discussed tamthil, that means making a likeness for Allah with the created being. Tamthil. مَثَّلَ يُمَثِّلُ Tamthil means to make a mithal, something is similar to something. To compare, to make an example of Allah to something in the creation. This tamthil, which is similar to tashbih, to make tashbih, compare, from the word شَبَّهَ يُشَبِّهُ التَّشْبِيهُ. Tashbih and tamthil is similar. Similar, but not exactly the same. Both of these have to be yani avoided. When we affirm for Allah's names and characteristics, we should not make tamthil. We should not make an example of Allah's characteristics to something in the creation. Nor should we make tashbih, compare Allah's characteristics to anything in the creation. This comparison between Allah and His creatures is not permissible, because nothing and no one in creation resembles Allah the Most High. While He possesses the perfection of all qualities and characteristics of good, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has no imperfection or defect or evil. Finally, this affirmation of Allah's names and characteristics should also be without takyif. From kayyifa yukayyifu takyif. You say kayfa haluk, how are you? This word is from the same root, takyif. To explain how, the how of something, or to ask, how is it? How does Allah ascend above His throne? How does Allah descend from His throne in the last third of the night? How? This also should be avoided. The confirmation of Allah's names and characteristics should be without takyif, attempting to explain the how of it, or asking how of it. This is clarified in the statement of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, when he was asked about يعني the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Taha, verse 5, Ar-Rahman istawa ala al-arsh, that Allah, the Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, that He ascended above His throne. He responded, when he was asked, how does Allah ascend above His throne? How is this istiwa? Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he said that al-istiwa ma'loom, wal-kayf majhool, wal-su'al anhu bid'ah, wal-iman bihi wajib. And this has become a principle for the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This statement of Imam Malik is applicable to all of the characteristics of Allah. يعني الاستواء معلوم, that means that Allah's ascending above His throne is معلوم, is well known in Arabic language. It is known. What is استواء? We know what this word means in Arabic language. It is معلوم. الكيف, the how of it, is مجهول. It's not known. We don't know how. We know that He ascended and we know what ascension means, but how does Allah Himself ascend? His ascending is different than ascending of human beings, because Allah is different from the human being. So the how of it is unknown. وَالسُّؤَالْ أَنْهُ بِدْعَةً. And asking how Allah ascends, or how Allah descends, or how Allah speaks, or anything else, it's applicable to all of Allah's characteristics. This is innovation, to ask the how of it. وَالْإِيمَانْ بِهِ وَاجِبْ. But to believe in it is obligatory. This is a principle for the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that affirmation of these characteristics for Allah, and these things that Allah has affirmed for Himself in the Quran and the Prophet ﷺ affirmed for Him in authentic Sunnah, is well known in Arabic language. The how of it is unknown. Asking about it is innovation, is bid'ah. We shouldn't do such. The Sahaba, they didn't ask about it. The Tabi'een didn't ask about it. How are we now to come after them and ask about it and to believe in it though? To believe in what Allah has affirmed for Himself and what the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for Him is obligatory. In addition to the above, it is incumbent on the Muslim to refute, to reject, and to deny all that Allah has denied about Himself, or what His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has denied, about him of any type of deficiency or defectiveness, and everything that contradicts or is in contradiction to his perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surely Allah is alone and unique in his beautiful name and his lofty or high characteristics. This is a summary of one of the basic principles of al-asma wa sifat. And the principles of asma wa sifat are many. These principles are important to understand so that we don't fall into the deviation that the people before us fell into. The first of these principles which we have discussed tonight is affirmation. And this came because of the mention of Imam al-Tahawi of not comparing Allah's speech to the speech of human beings. So this falls under the principle of affirmation. It's bad to affirm for Allah what he has affirmed for himself, but that affirmation has to be without making any comparison between Allah and anything else, without changing the meaning, without describing the how or asking how, and without affirming it while emptying it from its real meaning. These things have to be taken into consideration. Inshallah, this summary will be prepared and given to you so that you may examine it, and perhaps there may be some questions about it. We will stop here, and perhaps at another time we will mention some of the other basic principles of al-asma wa sifat. There are many, and there are some basic fundamental ones that we should all know about. And I won't go into them in detail now, there's no time, but I will just say that from amongst them is that the names of Allah and His characteristics are tawqifiyah. That means we cannot affirm for anything except that which is found in the Quran and Sunnah. And all of Allah's names and characteristics are husna. That means all of them are good names and characteristics, and to the perfect degree of goodness. And there are many other principles, inshallah, we'll discuss them at another time. If there are any comments now about what we discussed tonight concerning the speech of Allah, the Quran being the speech of Allah, and this idea, this principle of asma wa sifat, of affirmation for Allah, what he has affirmed for himself, or what the Prophet ﷺ has affirmed for him, then you may make your comments now in the last few moments before the adhan, or ask your questions or make any corrections. Naam. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We can give a chance for the sisters, if they have any questions, to send to us. We have about 2 minutes maybe before the adhan. If there are any questions or any comments or any corrections. Do the brothers have any comments or any corrections? Okay, then let us just keep in mind that this topic here that we have discussed briefly tonight concerning the Quran being the speech of Allah and the point of affirmation of what Allah has affirmed for himself here, the speech of Allah, and that's applicable to all of his characteristics and his name. This is a very important aspect of Tawheed. It is the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, the names of Allah and his characteristics, and it is something that is little known amongst the Muslims. Most of the Muslims know something about Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Lordship of Allah, that he is the creator and the owner and the provider and the protector and the one who gives life and death, and he rules the universe and so on. And the matters of al-qadha wal-qadha to some extent, which is part of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And even the pagan disbelievers knew about this and affirmed it. As for Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, this is also well known to the Muslims, but unfortunately it is the aspect of al-Tawheed, al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of worship, al-Ubudiyyah, al-Ibadah. It is the aspect of Tawheed that the pagans were blamed for, and even the Muslims have fallen into to a great extent, almost every place in the Muslim world. Even this Tawheed of Uluhiyyah, or Ubudiyyah, is known to some extent amongst the Muslims that we shouldn't offer worship to anything other than Allah, whether it is supplication, sacrifice, vows, hope, love, whatever, yani not only prayers and fasting and pilgrimage, but all of these things, obedience and such, these are all acts of worship and they should only be offered to Allah alone. This comes under Tawheed, Al-Ubudiyyah or Uluhiyyah. And even this is somewhat known to the Muslims, but the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat is almost unknown to the Muslims. And its principles, we can say, have almost been lost to the Muslims. So it is important that we know something about this, and inshallah we will study some of these principles and we will discuss them as yani, the opportunity arises during the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, and perhaps even we may have some independent lectures concerning Tawheed Al-Asma wa Sifat. Are there any questions before we go for prayer now? Now. Hadith Qudsi. Is it direct revelation or a conversation? Well, yani, most of the scholars, in their definition of the Hadith Qudsi, distinguished Hadith Qudsi from Hadith Nabawi by a number of distinctions. But the most important distinction that there is difference of opinion about, which we should note here, is that many of the scholars said the Hadith Qudsi is the word expression of the Prophet ﷺ, and the meaning is from Allah. This is very important point here, because they wanted to distinguish the Hadith Qudsi from the Qur'an, and the Hadith Qudsi from Hadith Nabawi. So they said the Qur'an is the expression and meaning from Allah. Expression and meaning from Allah. In order to distinguish the Qur'an from Hadith Qudsi, they said then the Hadith Qudsi, meaning is from Allah, but expression from the Prophet ﷺ. In that case, what is the Hadith Nabawi? Is it expression is from the Prophet ﷺ, no doubt, but its meaning is from where? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا. The Quran and the Sunnah is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the difference between the Quran and the Sunnah is, there are many differences, but one of the main differences is that the meaning, although it is revelation from Allah, it is the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is expressed in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the Hadith Qudsi, the most correct meaning or distinction or definition of Hadith Qudsi is that it is speech, its expression as well as its meaning is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as the Qur'an. Except that Hadith Qudsi is not reported mutawatir by numerous, innumerable chains as the Qur'an is. And it is not considered as ibadah to recite Hadith Qudsi as recitation of the Qur'an is ibadah. And the Hadith Qudsi is not recited in, you cannot recite it as يعني, recitation in Salat as the Qur'an is recited in Salat. And also the rules pertaining to the Qur'an and the handling of the Qur'an, Tahara and such things, is not applicable to Hadith Qudsi. And there are other differences that the scholars mentioned too. But the most important thing here is what I mentioned. I just want to emphasize it. Then you may comment that the correct opinion, and Allah knows best, is that Hadith Qudsi, its meaning and its expression is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it was not to be written as part of the Qur'an, to be recited as an act of ibadah, to be recited in salat, and to be preserved in the way that Allah promised to preserve the Qur'an. Yani, the Qur'an cannot be lost, nor can it be corrupted or changed in any way. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. As for the hadith, Allah has preserved it in general. The hadith is preserved, but perhaps some reports might have been lost, while the instructions may have been retained through other reports or other meanings. Now, Hadith Qudsi. The Hadith Qudsi, its authenticity is proven in the same way that other hadith authenticity is proven by asanid, by isnad, by chains of narrators. Chains of narrators. And for this reason, there is Hadith Qudsi. Yani Hadith Qudsi, and I didn't mention this somehow. Allah Musta'an, subhanAllah, Allah is the one who is perfect. Hadith Qudsi is, there are Hadith Qudsi which are authentic and those which are not authentic. Yani sahih and da'if. Even mawdu'a, fabricated Hadith Qudsi. There are many, most of the Hadith Qudsi that you find in the books are not authentic. Yani the overwhelming literature of Hadith Qudsi is not authentic. So it is confirmed, the Hadith Qudsi is confirmed in the same way that other hadith is confirmed by its isnad, by the isnad, the chain of narrators. There's something else concerning this. I don't recall now. Any other comment? Have they made the adhan? No. Yeah. Naam, the Quran is the speech of Allah and it should be respected. And for this reason, you find in some places, I know at the university in Medina, they used to have a special place, container, in every housing unit, that anyone who has a book or magazine or newspaper or anything concerning ayahs from the Quran, if they want to dispose of it, they should put it in this container, not in the trash can. And then it will be disposed of properly. Not to throw it in the trash like normal any papers or books or magazines. So, if you can. But I think here I haven't seen any such service for those who want to. This is the opinion of many of the scholars, that it is proper to burn it, not just to throw it in the street or in the trash.
I think the idea of sending Quran
So the Prophet ﷺ prohibited the carrying the Quran to the land of the disbelievers, and some of the scholars said that this is in reference to the situation or the case in which a person who travels to the land of the disbelievers, who expects or fears that perhaps the disbelievers may overcome him and take the Quran and disrespect it. But otherwise, if there is no fear of it being disrespected or anything being done, then inshallah there is no harm to send it. But of course it shouldn't just be sent without consideration of who it's going to and whose hands it will fall into and so on. And for this reason, some people said that the translation of the meaning of the Quran should be separated from the text, the Arabic text of the Quran, when it is being distributed for distribution amongst the people in general, especially for da'wah to non-Muslims. Because we don't know what they will do with the Quran. And Allah knows best. Okay, this is not a question, so there's nothing left. The reminder that we must go. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك